We need to seek our requesting and affinity seeking. Sensible wishes are ones in which we ask for our lives to be smooth, to have enough to eat, a safe place to live, adequate clothes to wear. It would be enough to live comfortably in a small house with minimal expenses and to have a simple life. But most people want luxuries and want to impress others, not knowing the price they have to pay for these extravagances. They lose more than they gain. But if instead we share our good fortune with others, then our good fortune will become the accumulation of merit. If we cultivate and accumulate enough merit to last for 100 generations, then our descendants will have inexhaustible enjoyment. If we were truly intelligent and wise people, we would share our excessive good fortune with others. Therefore, we need to be patient. Why seek for the early arrival of good fortune when it will come in good time? From the text, it would be quite an accomplishment in achieving these teachings to be able to reach the innate state of no thought. It is the actual learning and practice of wisdom. Master Yuan Gu told me, "I know that you are still unable to accomplish the state of no thought, but you can practice reciting the Jun Ti mantra continuously without counting the numbers of recitations and without interruption. In this way, you will be better off. When you reach a higher level of constant mindfulness, you will be able to achieve the level of to not recite when reciting and to recite when not reciting. When the reciting becomes second nature, the mantra will become effective and successful." End quote. Actual learning and practice is true knowledge. Reaching achievement is what Buddhists call returning to the original state. It is to reveal our original self-nature, which is not the state of an ordinary being. This is true happiness. It is to be filled with the Dharma joy, to truly abandon suffering for happiness. It is what awakened people seek. This method taught by the Master enables us to practice concurrently the three learnings of self-discipline, or abiding brought by the precepts, deep concentration, and wisdom. This type of method is called perfect practice with perfect attainment. The Flower Adornment Sutra explains that one is all. All is one. To cultivate one method is to cultivate all methods. The essence of the practice is to continuously recite without keeping track of the number of recitations. This is to do so without interruption, without intermingling with other thoughts or other methods. Is there a need to count the recitations? The master did not tell him to do so, but rather to recite continuously. Many ancient sages required practitioners to start their cultivation by keeping track of the number of recitations. Why? Because, like us, they were lazy and lacked diligence. Thus, it was helpful to have a goal for the practitioner to meet a required number of recitations every day. For example, to chant a Buddha's name 10,000 times every day. Meeting this goal helped to counteract the bad habits of laziness and indolence. If we do not count, then we may forget to practice. But for someone as honest and as earnest as Mr. Liao Fan, there was no need to keep track of the recitations. Indeed, for him, that would have served as intermingling. His cultivation was truly learned and diligent. Thus, he was able to practice without interruption, without intermingling with other thoughts or with other methods. All methods are equal. No one method is different from the others. Attainment lies in delving deeply into one method for a long period of time. In the past, people generally practiced sutra recitation, but whether reciting sutras, chanting mantras, or a Buddha's name, we all need to practice with a mind of purity, equality, and respect. We all need to practice continuously to truly attain the effects from practice. The master knew that Mr. Liao Fan was still unable to accomplish the state of no thought, but he could practice reciting the Junti mantra continuously without keeping track of the number of recitations and without interruptions. The state of no thought is essential. It is to not have any wandering thoughts, discriminatory thoughts, or attachment. Even though Mr. Liao Fan had not given rise to any wandering thoughts for the 3 days while he had been meditating with the master, he had not yet reached the state of no thought. He had just used confidence, not concentration, to suppress his afflictions. He believed that all was destined. He believed in cause and effect. Therefore, the master taught him a way to move on to the next level, to cultivate concentration, to recite the Jun Ti mantra is to cultivate concentration. In ridding ourselves of wandering thoughts and attachments, our true nature will thus be uncovered. The Buddha spoke many times of the original nature as it is. It is the same thing as one mind undisturbed in the Pure Land school. This is the goal of our practice and the true and perfect achievement. It is to reach the achievement of to not recite when reciting and to recite when not reciting. This is often explained as not being attached to the act of reciting or chanting. Thus, to not chant when chanting and to chant when not chanting. We do so whether we are chanting a Buddha's name or reciting the sutra. Therefore, when we do recite the Infinite Life Sutra, we can first achieve constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha, and then one mind undisturbed. It is evident that even though the methods may differ, the principles and the goal are the same. When we reach the state of no thought, when the reciting becomes second nature, it will naturally become effective. Basically, there are three levels of achievement. The upper level is one mind undisturbed in enlightenment. The middle level is one mind undisturbed in mindfulness. And the lower level is constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha, which is where our cultivation begins. Therefore, we cannot be proud when our achievement reaches a certain level. For if we do so, then we will not be able to advance further. Reaching the upper level of constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha, we will have the ability to transcend this world at will, to leave whenever we wish. Whenever we want to go, Buddha Amitabha will come to escort us to the Western Pure Land. Although we have reached this level of achievement and are able to pass away at ease, it is best to stay longer in this world. Why? The Infinite Life Sutra tells us that to practice in our world of suffering for one day is like practicing in the Pure Land for 100 years. We can stay in this world to train our endurance. The second and even more important reason to stay is to encourage more people to go to the Western Pure Land. It is remarkable that we ourselves are able to go. But it would be even better if we could help others to go there as well. Thus, we can concentrate on helping, educating, and encouraging others. When we ourselves cultivate and encourage others to cultivate as well, our merit is perfect. In so doing, we are able to pay back the great kindness the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have shown us. For the seeking to be effective, there must be a gain. From the text. My name used to be Shui Hai, which means broad learning. But after receiving these teachings from Master Yuan Gu, I changed it to Liao Fan, which means transcending the ordinary. End quote. In the past, people had three sets of names in China: their formal name, their courtesy name, and their assumed name. Their parents gave them their first one. This name could not be changed, for to do so would be unfilial. The names that parents gave expressed their aspirations for us. If these were changed, it would be tantamount to ignoring this aspiration, truly an unfilial act. Their assumed name was sometimes used when one had a certain social status or prestige in society. When people reached a certain age and became an adult, others no longer called him or her by the name that had been given by their parents. Upon reaching age 20, males underwent a ceremony to be initiated into adulthood. Before this ceremony, everyone could address him by his formal name. Afterwards, it was disrespectful for others to still address him by this formal name that had been given to him by his parents. Then how did others address him? During the ceremony, people of the same generation or older, siblings, schoolmates, and friends would give the courtesy name. For the rest of his life, he was addressed by this name, no longer by his formal name. If in the future he were to become a government official or emperor, people would address him by this courtesy name. The same applied to females, although their age for reaching adulthood was 16 years. If a person was addressed by his formal name, then most likely he had committed a crime, been sentenced, and punished for that crime. We need to be clear on this general knowledge of how people were addressed. If people wanted to be even more respectful, they would address a person by an assumed name or their birthplace. To address a person as such indicated that he was a respected, important person from a particular place. to address a person by the birthplace was the most respected form of address. It is the same in Buddhism. To show the utmost respect, a monk or nun is addressed by the name of his or her way place or location. Master Jutsu was addressed as the great master of Tiantai because he lived on Tiantai Mountain. Another example is Master Kuaiji, who was addressed as Su'an because he was from Su'an Temple. Liao Fan and Shui Hai were Mr. Liao Fan's assumed names, a very respectful way of addressing him. Only the parents and teacher used a person's formal name after that person reached adulthood. Even grandparents and uncles still addressed a person by their courtesy name. Thus, we see that society accorded the same gratitude and respect to teachers as it did to parents. In Buddhism, monks and nuns have what are known as internal and external names. Their internal one is the Buddhist name. Their external name is the courtesy name. From the text, it signified my understanding of the fact that we could create our destiny, and that I did not wish to be like ordinary people who were controlled by their destiny. From then on, I began to be very cautious and careful in whatever I thought or did. Soon, I felt quite different from before. In the past, I was careless and lived my days in distraction and had no self-discipline at all. Now, I found myself being naturally cautious and conscientious. End quote. This segment talks of Mr. Liao Fan's determination and cultivation in correcting his errors and making a new start. First, he changed his assumed name to Liao Fan from Shui Hai. Liao means to clearly understand. Fan means an ordinary person. At that moment, he understood everything in regards to everyday matters. He was awakened. He truly knew that only we could change and create destiny. He understood the principles and the methods, and knew that from then on, he did not have to just follow the path of destiny because it was not fixed. After his resolution to reform, his feeling in daily living changed. From that point on until the end of his life, he was constantly aware of his thoughts and behavior, was always on the alert, was no longer deluded. In the past, he had been unrestrained, doing things as he pleased, drifting aimlessly through each day. How did he live his life? He did not know. He had no direction. He had no goal. If we live this way, then we will be bound by fate, unable to create our own future. After reforming, he found himself being naturally cautious and careful in thought, speech, and behavior. In other words, after turning over a new leaf, his beliefs differed. His viewpoints regarding life and the universe changed dramatically. Before, he thought everything was bound by fate. What was there to change? But now he knew that we can change destiny. Thus, he was more positive, more determined, more optimistic. From the text, I maintained this attitude even when alone, for I know that there are spirits and heavenly beings everywhere who know my every action and thought. I am cautious to not offend them with my conduct. Even when I encounter people who dislike or slander me, I could take their insults with a patient and peaceful mind and do not feel compelled to quarrel with them. End quote. The reason why ordinary people cannot reform is because they do not understand this. Those who are more familiar with the Infinite Life Sutra will understand such situations and be even more careful with their thoughts, speech, and behavior. Even more careful than Mr. Liao Fan was. This is because the population of the Pure Land is beyond calculation. Even if we used every single computer in this world, we could not calculate the number of beings who live there. And yet, every one of them possess the same abilities as Buddha Amitabha. Each of them has the heavenly eye to see all, heavenly ears to hear all, the ability to know every thought of every being throughout the universe in the past, present, and future. So Buddha Amitabha, great compassion Bodhisattva, great strength Bodhisattva, and all the beings in the Western Pure Land know our every thought, know our every wrongdoing. This talks of when we are alone, when no one else can see us. We still need to restrain ourselves and not give rise to any single improper thought. In so doing, we will truly achieve self-discipline and control. As Pure Land practitioners, we want to seek birth into the Pure Land, want to achieve our virtuous nature. If we continue to deceive ourselves, we will be unable to achieve. Confucius said, The decent person is wary of being alone. Even if we live alone, we can still discipline ourselves by not indulging ourselves without restrictions. In this way, we are truly cultivating. Ordinary people constantly indulge themselves without any real discipline. When in public, they may appear cautious and self-restrained, but when alone, they once again indulge themselves. For example, why is it that in ancient way places, many practitioners slept in one room and were not allowed to sleep in a single room? Because if there was only one person sleeping in a room, he or she would be unable to achieve in cultivation. To sleep in a room with others is to rely on the group. When there are over 10 people sleeping in a room, they will behave well even when sleeping. The purpose of this was to force people to discipline themselves. Today's society is different from those in the past, in that no one is willing to restrain himself or herself, but are self-indulgent, intent on enjoying comfort. Living with a large group, everyone needs to work together. There are some single rooms at way places, but they are especially for cultivators of advanced years. Also, those who hold high positions and who have many responsibilities, like abbots or the leading monk, also need to have a room of their own for the convenience of handling matters at all hours without disturbing others. Therefore, true practitioners practice living together harmoniously. One of the six principles of harmony. It is inappropriate for an individual to have a single room. If a person thinks it is uncomfortable to have two or three people living in a room, it then becomes very easy to think, I do not wish to live with this person or that particular person. Whoever thinks in this way will be unable to achieve the state of constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha. Why? They have discriminatory and impure minds. It is the mind that still has dislikes and evasions. How would that person possibly achieve? Then where and how do we cultivate? Wherever it is that we dislike the most. Wherever exists the most discriminatory environment to cultivate our purity, our non-discriminatory mind. This is cultivation. It is wrong. It is a fault for us not to be willing to live with or get along with someone. Mr. Liaofan had discovered his faults, mended his ways, and sincerely corrected his errors. Now, when we have faults, not only do we not correct them, but also we continuously nurture them. How then can we hope to achieve in our cultivation? Therefore, within a Sangha, a starting point for our cultivation is the six principles of harmony, which are the basic guideline to follow when living together in a large group. For individuals, anyone can abide by the fundamental five precepts and the 10 good conducts. In the past, way places used the Sami precepts and guidelines for dignified behavior as the standard, the 10 precepts, and the 24 kinds of dignified manners. Today, we do not need to be that severe. It will suffice for us to follow the five precepts and the 10 good conducts. This can be the standard for both lay people and monks and nuns. However, the standard cannot be lower than this. To live in a group, it is necessary to abide by the six principles of harmony, to correct our faults and bad habits, and to learn to neither dislike nor detest others. Mr. Liao Fan found out that even now, when encountering those who disliked or slandered him, he no longer minded. Rather, he found that he could patiently bear their insults with a peaceful mind and no longer felt compelled to quarrel with them. It was evident that his mind was calm and serene, unlike before when he was flighty and impatient, unable to endure the slightest inconvenience, the slightest wrong. Here we can see his improvement from cultivation. Therefore, a practitioner, a true Buddhist, needs to learn how to get along with everybody, to get along with Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, even demons and ghosts, to have found our inner peace and to hold on to it, regardless of the current environment or circumstances. When the sixth patriarch of Zen, Master Hui Neng, was 24 years old, he found himself in the presence of, and thus attendant to, a group of hunters. He witnessed their hunting, killing, and committing many bad deeds daily. He saw and heard with his own ears and eyes. Also, he cooked their meat for them and took care of them. At that time, the hunters were his masters. He was their servant. He did this not just for a short time, but for 15 years. Could we have endured doing this? He not only endured, but in that environment, he still lived at ease. He learned how to not give rise to any wandering thoughts, discriminatory thoughts, and attachments. For him, these were 15 years of true cultivation. He reached enlightenment when he was in Huangmei in the southern part of China. Having attained enlightenment, he started to correct his bad habits. Whether under favorable or unfavorable circumstances, he cultivated his mind of purity, equality, great compassion, and kindness. There is nothing more important than the cultivation of these three qualities. Today, when we interact with people and matters, are we cultivating with our mind of purity under favorable or unfavorable circumstances? If we are not cultivating our purity of mind, then we are not truly cultivating, and we will not attain any benefit. If so, we are not properly practicing Buddhism. Thus, we are studying it as an academic pursuit. Even if we spent every day reading the sutras and were extremely articulate in explaining them, we would just be increasing our affliction. In this way, we will be in the three bad realms. This is obviously and absolutely wrong. True practitioners do not attach to the words, do not attach to what has been said. Rather, they use their intuition. They seek purity of mind, the non-discriminatory mind, the true mind, which is in our original self-nature. They seek perfect, complete enlightenment. As Pure Land practitioners, this is our goal, to attain constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha. Constant mindfulness is the mind of purity and equality. Non-discrimination is one entirety. Purity is one entirety. There is no barrier within the true mind. In other words, if we still have discriminatory thoughts and attachments, then we are unable to achieve constant mindfulness. Departing from these discriminatory thoughts and attachments, we will be able to achieve constant mindfulness, to be truly cultivating. Although this is not a very high level of achievement, attaining it shows that Mr. Liao Fan was proceeding correctly, and he had received a good response from the text. The year after I met Master Yuan Gu, I took the preliminary imperial exam, in which Mr. Kong had predicted that I would come in third place. Amazingly, I came in first. Mr. Kong's predictions were beginning to lose their accuracy. He had not predicted I would pass the imperial exam at all, but that autumn I did. End quote. Mr. Liao Fan was destined to place third in the exam, but by cultivating kind deeds and accumulating merits and virtue, he was able to improve his placement from third to first. As Mr. Kong's predictions began to lose their accuracy, Mr. Liao Fan saw firsthand that he was able to change destiny, saw firsthand that there were variables, not just constants. Next, he made the wish to pass an even higher level of examination, and again, his wish came true. To gain something we were not destined to have is to truly have sought and gained. From the text, although I had corrected many of my faults, I found that I could not wholeheartedly do the things I ought to. Even if I did them, it was forced and unnatural. I reflected within and found that I still had many shortcomings, such as seeing an opportunity to practice kindness and not being eager enough to do it, or having doubts on helping.